Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
But first, 20, okay, try 20. Okay, number 20. Chapter 23, right? David Woody's Lamentation.
Hamsa paramata vratais.
Hamsa paramata vratais.
Tatra tatra nikujitam. Tritriman manyamanai swan. Adiruhya adiruhya cha. Hamsa paravata vratais.
Hamsa paravata vratais.
Tatra tatra nikujita. Kritriman manyamanai swan. Adiruhya adiruhya cha. Hamsa of swans. Paravata of pigeons. Ratahi with multitudes. Tatra tatra. Here and there. Nikujita vibrated. Kritriman, artificial. Manyamanai, thinking. Swan, belonging to their own kind. Adiruhya, adiruhya, rising repeatedly. Cha, and. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Here and there in that palace were multitudes of live swans and pigeons, as well as artificial swans and pigeons, so lifelike that the real swans rose above them again and again, thinking them live birds like themselves. Thus the palace vibrated with the sound of these birds. No purport, I'll read the next verse. Viharastana Vishrama Samvesha Prangana Jirahi Yatopa Josham Rachitair Vismapanamivatmanaha.
The castle had pleasure grounds, resting chambers, bedrooms and inner and outer yards designed with an eye to comfort. All this caused astonishment to the sage himself. Purport. Karma Muni, being a saintly person, was living in a humble hermitage. But when he saw the palace constructed by his yogic powers, which was full of resting rooms, rooms for sexual enjoyment, and inner and outer courtyards, he himself was astonished. That is the way of a God-gifted person. A devotee like Kardama Muni exhibited such opulence by his yogic power at the request of his wife. But when the opulence was produced, he himself could not understand how such manifestations could be possible. When a yogi's power is exhibited, the yogi himself is sometimes astonished. Because yoga power is the power of the Supreme. The jiva soul has very limited shakti at his disposal. He doesn't have the capacity. Just like a small tri-cell battery, it can only hold so much electricity. It just isn't big enough to hold more. If you have a large battery, means a whole array. Battery means array, a whole array of cells, many of them. Then you can hold a large charge. So the living entity cannot hold much charge on his own. Real purpose of yoga is to connect with the Supreme. Pseudo-yoga is on your own strength. But real yoga is on the strength of the Supreme. One connects with the Supreme current, establishes a proper electric connection. And thus, he is empowered by the Supreme. And he does things that amaze even himself. This is possible even for non-devotees. God-gifted, Prabhupada uses the term in the purport. So even many materialists are God-gifted. They don't recognize it, that's why they're materialists, because they don't recognize that everything they have is coming from God. But still, whether they recognize it or not, it is coming from God. And so they are God-gifted. Even the demons and gross materialists who have some talent, some assets, these talents and assets are bestowed upon them by the grace of the Supreme Lord. An intelligent person, a real genius, recognizes this, that his gift is coming from God, not from himself. Now we see this among many great artists and geniuses of the world, but they recognize this. This is a natural tendency among the living entities. If they're honest, if they have some humility, and that should come with real intelligence, to be honest and humble. Someone who's smart knows that it's better to be honest, and better to be humble, to realize your finite and fallen condition. It's just honesty and self-perception. To see realistically what is your situation, that will make you humble. So what does it mean with the Vaishnavas? These are good qualities. Humility, honesty, introspection, looking at yourself. These are qualities which materialists sometimes manifest. But they should always be manifested in Vaishnava. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunais tatva suraha samasate suraha. Someone who is a devotee of Lord Hari, all the good qualities of the demigods are residing in him. And demigods are supposed to be above the grosser modes of passion and ignorance. Although they are passionate, they're rulers, but in a subtle way only. They're actually strongly influenced by their mode of goodness. And the rishis are almost completely under the influence just of goodness. Demigods, mostly goodness, a little bit of passion, subtle passion, desire to rule. But desire to rule in the service of the Supreme Lord. So, these demigods and rishis, devatas and rishis, have many good qualities. They naturally are humble, naturally are able to look at themselves realistically and see the imperfections and the limitations. Lord Brahma was the first of the demigods and the first of the sages. He prayed to Narayana. Sakayata sakuri vishate kritam. Prajavisarge pavijami bhu janam. Avikvivas tvat parikarmani stito. Mame samudnadamado jamadinaha. Please, I have to do this service. Prajavisarga, of sending forth the living entities into creation. And it's not just pushing them out the door. I have to arrange for them first. Planets to live on and living bodies to occupy. When that is arranged, then I can push the living entities out so they can occupy these places and these bodies. Please don't let me become arrogant and self-conceited in the process of executing this service. Don't let me be infected by over-inflated pride, thinking I am unborn Brahma, the great demigod. Brahma has a lot of qualifications. He has something to be proud of, but he's begging, please don't let me be proud of all this. He says, honestly, taking account of his own qualifications, he says, Soham samam nayamayasta pomaya prajapati nam abhivandita pati samadhi mastaya samadhi mastaya samahitas tamnaja gacham yata atmasambhavaha. I have my qualifications. I'm very elevated. Anyone can see this. I'm prajapatina, or rather, soham samam nayamayas. Vedas emanate from my body, from my mouths. I embody the four Vedas, tapomayaha, and I am the personal embodiment of all the austerities, Vedic rituals and austerities. Prajapatinam abhivandita pati. I am the worshipable master, chief of all the Prajapatis. I command their respect. And I'm their leader. The progenitors of all the living entities in the universe. Brahma is the chief of them. And therefore honored by all of them. And I'm situated very well in samadhi, in fixed trance of yoga. I'm a very expert yogi also. Not just an administrative demigod. Not just a prajapati, begetting children, but I'm a great yogi also. So these are the qualifications of Brahma. But then he sees his disqualification, honestly. Tamnaja kakcham, I cannot find. Where is the supreme? At that time, before it was revealed to me, I could not identify it. What is my origin? Where do I get my powers from? He did not know his master. So he was in ignorance, despite all of his qualifications. Lord Narayana initiated him into transcendental knowledge, gave him diksha. But before that, he was in ignorance. So he's praying, don't let me be proud. I have my qualifications, but I also have my great disqualification. That's the real quality of a great demigod. A Vaishnava automatically has such qualities. If you see a Vaishnava who's arrogant, then he's not much of a real Vaishnava. He hasn't yet learned, he's immature, he has not learned how to be a real Vaishnava, how to really think like a Vaishnava and feel like a Vaishnava. He may be acting externally, going through the motions, performing the proper rituals, but he's not the attitude of a Vaishnava. If he's proud, angry, fault-finding. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us, amanina manadena, we should not be demanding respect from anybody. We should be ready to give everybody respect. That is the standard of a real Vaishnava. Kadamamuni is living up to that standard. Not only a sage, but a Vaishnava. If he was only a sage, only a mystic who can manufacture flying houses in the sky, then he would be no better than these cheap yogis who manufacture, wristwatches out of their ears and mesmerize their followers in this way. Make some smoke, some ashes, call it their vibhutis, their opulences. So making a palace in the sky is in the same category. unless you're also a devotee. But Kardamuni is a great devotee. That's why Kapila Dev is choosing to become his son. Because of his devotion, not because of his mystic power. The personality of God is not looking to see who has the most mystic power to become his father. He's looking to see who has the purest devotion. Krishna had two sets of parents. But he gave himself, his childhood pastimes, to Vasudeva, to Nanda and Yashoda, rather than Devaki and Vasudeva. Yashoda's maternal love is greater even than Devaki's. Devaki and Vasudeva, and also Vasudeva, has not as much pure, unconditional love as Nanda Maharaj does. Vasudeva and Devaki prayed to have the Supreme Lord as their son. Way back when they were Krishna and Subarva. Krishna and Sutapa. And he agreed, I will take birth as your son three times. Krishna Garba, Vamanadev, when they became again Kashyapa and Aditi. And then Vasudeva and Devaki, he appeared as Krishna. But they prayed to have the Lord as their son. Nanda and Yashoda prayed just for pure love. And because their love was in the mood of Vatsalya, Krishna took birth as their son. But that was more unconditional. Their love is not based on relationship, but simply based on the pure attraction to Krishna. They didn't specify that Krishna has to become their son. Unconditional request. Just let us have love for you. Birth after birth. Krishna responded more warmly to that.
Jai Shri Gaurinitai. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram. Giriyaj Maharaj.
So, Krishna stayed in Vraja with Nanda and Yashoda for his childhood pastimes, because he was most attracted to their love. In general, the Supreme Lord chooses his most loving devotees, at least in the Vatsaya Rasa, to be his parents. He's not interested in yogis who can simply manufacture things in the sky, palaces or wristwatches or anything else. That does not impress Krishna. It certainly doesn't impress him to want to become somebody's son. So he should give Kardamun the credit he deserves. He's not just a yogi, he's a very surrendered devotee. Though Kapila Dev is the personality of Godhead himself, Panchama Kapilo Nama Siddhesha Pala Viplutam Pavocha Asuraya Sankhyam Tattva Grama Vinyunayam. In the third chapter of the first canto, Siddhi Goswami lists Kapila number 5 on his list. The greatest of all mystics, Siddhesha, he recovered the ancient knowledge of Sankhya, which had been lost in the mists of time. And it says there, Sutta says that he spoke to Asuri Brahmana. That's because this is Kapila, the previous Manvantara. He spoke to someone else. This time around, as recorded in the third canto, he spoke to his mother. And that's also mentioned in Lord Brahma's description of the Kapila's incarnation in the 7th chapter of the 2nd canto. Jagye chakarta magrihe nanuneva bhutyam bhutvija deva bhutyam strivik samam navavi atma gatim swamatri uche yagatma shamalam gunasangapankam asmin vidunya kapilasya gatim papede. He took birth in the house of Kardama. His mother was Devahuti.
And he had 9 sisters who took birth before him. He spoke, was it Uchei Abnagatim Somatri, to his mother he spoke about the ultimate goal of the self, the perfection of life. By that knowledge, Devahuti and anyone else is able to wash away all the contamination of material association, like mud. Guna sangapankam, the mud, dirty mud, of the association with the material modes. That can be washed off by the knowledge of Samkhya. That was the contribution, the pastime of Lord Kapiladeva, giving the stress and ill knowledge, in this case to his mother. Okay, so I'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Okay. Thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.